Australian Bible Church, January the 25th, 2015. We're a Presbyterian church acknowledging Jesus Christ without compromise and the Bible without qualification. If you take it as it is, it works perfectly. If you feel about with it, like taking the wrong drug or the wrong amount, nothing at all. Have a heart is today's title. Be sure it is engendered by the Lord. Let God unite your heart as one to truth. And the basic underlying text, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. Let's therefore look at the areas of the heart of man, of what the Bible says to it, and what comes out of it. Let's be topical. When men become butchers, but of other people, when hatred wells up like an explosive gas, there is a reason for that. When the truth, on the other hand, finds the heart, ennobles, cleanses, uses it, frees it, there's a reason for that. It's time to ponder the ways of the Lord, as these insurgencies into the heart of man are becoming more and more callous, pompous, unreal, and ruthless. Even rejoicing in ruthlessness. Acting to cause tyranny over man and to upset the nations. These are not the first terrorists which hit the headlines so frequently. Let's go back a few hundred years. The fabulously infamous Inquisition, a product of Romanism centered in Rome and with its billion or so nominal followers, going back a few hundred years, the Inquisition distorted Christianity in its own way for centuries of torture. Christ was tortured, but he didn't impart it. The communists acted as if to make man a kind of economic unit, slave-driven, with the godless executions of millions to those who proclaimed themselves as if they were the minions of matter, mindless, incapable matter. Deception and false masteries can readily take over the unprotected soul of man. In the case of communism, as you see so often in historical writings about what happened, it was the people and not the plan that were executed. It was the people that was put into place. The plan that was put into place and the people who lost all place. Sometimes slaving in Siberia so that the last pieces of productive labor could be exported from their dying bodies and make it a more profitable execution still. So in the case of insurgent jihads, by which many of one religion act to oppress or obliterate others rather than persuade them, others who find no truth in it, no truth at all. What of this case? It has been with us for hundreds of years and nearly took over Europe. But for the Battle of Tours of 732 AD. What of this? How do they relate to Christ then? Created 6 centuries after the true Christ had given his evidence, delivered the data, and enabled the record. 6 centuries later, what happened? a stripped down version of Jesus Christ was created, with some of the essential biblical truths regarding him deleted. There was an ungoverned desolation of his image in the construction of a new character using the old name. Christ is wanted by sects. He's wanted by other religions. They want to have a place for him. Because if Christ can be given a place, he'll give them a place by reference to him. Like a star from which to hang at a distance. It's like a compliment miscarried. In the case of Islam, there has been much more than a cartoon made of Jesus Christ. And that doesn't apply to moderate Islamics only. There has been made someone else altogether. And it has been made to appear that that was the one. The name is kept. The greatness of the name is kept. Another personage entirely is put under its heading. And the stripped down version is incorporated into its characters. A cartoon is nothing compared with this reincarnation, or as you prefer to call it, this remanufactured model. How can the talk of a cartoon even begin to occur when there's a replacement of a personality presented as if it were the truth? But these are the things, false Christs, false prophets were predicted. These were signs of the development of the age, just as arthritis can be a sign of age in the body. It was to come. It did come. If it had not come, the Bible would be wrong. It did come, and the Bible, as always, is right. It has it covered. Everything is covered. So there have been various frauds. Sects. And sometimes, as in the case of the communists, sectarian substitutes for the things of Christ. A heaven on earth, except there was no haven for anything except the totalitarian horrors of those who are confused to the point of getting everything from nowhere. Let us then consider the human hearts in such ravages. Such millions of deaths, such tortures, such horrors, such ignorings of reason, of evidence, of righteousness, can slay millions and have slain millions, tens of millions in the last 100 years. And perhaps, it appears, in the last 60 or so. Or 70. So the heart of man is one. But many are its activities. Let us probe a little. Is the function of the heart just a matter of thoughts? The Bible in Daniel speaks, for example, in 7:1-13, of visions of the head. And it also speaks, 7:13, that his thoughts troubled him. In Jeremiah, we find reference in 23:16 and 36 to the vision of the heart and the deceits of their own hearts. So the heart with thought, with affection, with understanding. You can refer to the operations of the head, to the operations of the heart, and in both cases you are getting into deep waters. Francis Schaeffer speaks of the thoughts of the heart as though this was the main character of the heart in true spirituality. The thoughts of the heart are only part, just as the skin is part of the body. More lies underneath than thoughts in the heart. Thoughts are the articulation of perception, the conception. But the heart is like a beach. It has many waves and bays and may be approached by much in many ways. Just as tankers may be approached by pirates. so the heart may be approached by pirates. They may call out as if to the head what they have in mind, but they nevertheless go to the heart of the matter to take over control. Thrusts come to drive the heart like an engine, to still it, to suck its quieter thoughts, to inject it, to affect it, to infect it. Similarly, thrusts of the will can come from an internal source. A takeover of the heart can come to the point of an obsession. Such is the lot of many jihadists. Suddenly arrested in their hearts, but not by truth. As has been the case with many Nazis. If you know The Sound of Music, you will know of the young man who was in love, 16 going on 17, the girl, do you remember it? Suddenly, as the Nazi forces invade Austria, he sees there his power, and suddenly he's changed. His gentle ways are suddenly turned into stern ways. Callousness replaces tenderness. He is out ready for murder. The heart can be suddenly arrested and tested and invested with wickedness almost incomparable and inconceivable. The Nazis, communists, Islam, these things can happen in many places, at many times. In this individual, in that, in this phase, in that. The heart of civilization is tested again and again. The worldwide flood, so devastatingly attested. The result of one such civic contortion, read Genesis 6. It got its comeuppance too. They never do the takeover, but they give a tremendous testimony of the wickedness of the heart of man, the woefulness of all his foolish philosophies and political extravaganzas, which are willing to crush children long before they are ready to give up. That at least is one of the major phases you find in such places. Another and a greater result of such civic contortions, moral evasions, heartlessness is foretold by Jesus Christ. You read of it in Matthew 24 and Revelation 17, 18, 19, 20 leads you on to the judgment. But there is a better way. Understanding. You can relate that to the head, you can relate it to the heart. It operates in the awareness of what's to be done, its formulation, and to the understanding of it, its information, its presence, its power, its authority, its awesomeness. It's all there. It's all woven together. Of Daniel in Daniel 10:1, he says he understood the message. He understood. He assessed its value. He was arrested by its truth. He was vitalized by its presence. He perceived its sword. It was all there. He had understanding of the vision we read. But not only that, the angelic messenger was come as a teacher, not only as a prophetic ministry. He said, I have come to make you understand, 10:14 of Daniel. It's not a matter of rejection of reason when God speaks, but of receipt of revelation beyond it. Testable indeed, but sourced from God. It was as it is in Proverbs 1:22-23. How long, it asks, will you love simplicity and scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? For as Paul declares, all things must be tested. 1 Thessalonians 5. If you don't test things, it is on your own head. Reason teaches it. History teaches it, and the Bible demands it. What other religions demand that you test them? What else, where else do you find such honesty, integrity, and demonstrability? And so it lasts over thousands of years. Turn at my reproof, we read in Proverbs. Turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit to you. I will make known my words to you. If you turn at my reproof, something's going to happen. My spirit will be poured out, and I will cause you to know. I will grant you to know. I will secure your knowing. I will grant you understanding. I will make known my words to you. These promises are the premises of some of the stability that distinguishes Christianity. But when some of the chief functions of the heart are short-circuited, are taken over by terrorist ideas, and these ideas don't have to come from human sources, they can come direct from devils. What about the devils dwelling in the man who is amongst the tombs that you read of in Jesus, who cast them out? These devils can cause people to harm themselves and, of course, others. Well, terrorism is not just a matter of this religion or that. We've mentioned three where it's become prominent and in cases dominant. Terrorism is a spiritual attitude. The devil is its past master, presently active. Don't forget that. Churchill didn't let them forget Hitler. Don't let deceit make you forget the devil. Or your own heart. Oh no. Don't label it just on some obvious, macabre murderers. Watch, test all things. Hold fast that which is good. Think of Mary. She heard various things spoken of the infant Christ. She listened and she pondered these things and kept them in her heart. A place of understanding. There are impressions, there are words, there are testimonies, there are voices which come to us of the senses, of understanding. There are signals, there are assertions, there are predictions. Like many meats in a cauldron cooking, all these things are happening. Such things may be stored, investigated, pondered, evaluated, tested. But they all had in the infant Christ a very distinctive flavor. Summed up by the words of God to Mary as to his prophets before and afterwards regarding that sublime, unique, totally expressive incarnation. The heart then is often used as a centerpiece, an active centerpiece of the spirit of a person. There seems to be amongst the materialistically muddled multitude a desire not to speak of the spirit of a person, as though this was somehow strange. The spirit of the person is distinct from the mind. The mind assesses, considers, finds results, finds causes, finds connections, shows you how, shows you means, but the spirit does much more. It wills, it desires, it estimates, it evaluates, it considers, it looks forwards, it looks backwards, it considers its sources, it considers its preferences, it considers its sins. It's considered the sin bin, laughed at, but available only in Christ. It considers its ways until it gets hauteur and fixed ideas and foolish, clumsy notions to destroy the world, the man, the woman herself, himself, with drugs perhaps, with sudden flashy actions, flushing over to the Middle East to combine with murderers. Why? The power, the glory, the shadow, who knows? All sorts of foolishness can infect man just as much as the worst dementia. Such battles occur in the heart. Many warriors are dictated to within. Many warriors are dictated to outside. Many who love the sword die by it. Many who love to ignore reason, revelation, truth, reality, goodness, inherit shame and utterly deserve it. The beautiful news is they don't have to get it. That's the beautiful news. The worst, the one being crucified next to Christ, for example, the worst can get the best in a moment, in a word, by accepting the remedy. You have heart trouble, you refuse this, you refuse that, and the other remedy. All right, that's your choice. But imagine if the remedy is right there. In a few months you could be better. And you don't take it. Do you love death? All that hate me, says the Christ of the Proverbs, love death. The world is facing the unsublime follies of many years of gospel spread, now willfully being rejected by the nations, even Europe. They don't know in their constitution what they are. Did we come from Greece and Rome, democracy and order and organization? Where did we come from? What are we, asks Europe of itself? Oh, where are we going? They're floundering as more and more Australia is floundering, hardly knowing where it is going, attacking morals, as though this was a mighty and glorious invention, another rebellious act of absurd irrationality. Attacking morals. Attacking God. Attacking authority. Attacking hope. Using the contemptible idea of a lucky nation, not realizing it was being based on God as few have been. And now they want to flirt with fancy and delete all reason as they flush themselves into a new fullness of unknown depth, unknown reason, unknown results. Only this, that the body, which is a design incomparable by anything made by man, must be misused. The mind must be used. What has proved past in the past, a glorious thing, now becomes a work of numbed brain, abashed reason, moral innovation by people who neither make the body nor understand it, neither made the mind nor know where it came from, but only have a mind to mind what their mind wants and by their spirits to gallop over the brink of destiny into what has long been condemned and had many riders before. If a country wants to be led by such, not by the one who bled to show the love which covers the sin by taking the place of sinners, then he can have it. Many others do. Will Australia yearn to be like some of the others? I mean, millions can be killed in some countries. Would that be better? Does it have a lure? Apparently some. Without God's light, how great is the darkness? If that light be not in you, says Christ, how great is the darkness? And in a way, we've been having a little lantern slide verbally just now, illustrating that fact. If his light is not in you, how great is the darkness? It's awesomely horrendous. You can try to detach this or that innovation from the rest, which goes together like an army. But what's the use of ignoring the fact that that army is on the march? How great then are the gifts given to man. Willful obliteration of the truth is an option, but not a necessity. But if you want to be willful, listen to Ezekiel 28:9. God asks Tyre, or the spirit back of it, a spirit which has been exhibiting wonderful self-glorification, wonderful majesty, very filled with itself, He says, will you still say you are God when I kill you? Predicted its fall and it fell. If one departs from the spiritual scene of towering waves ready to sweep away all reason evidence, one is indeed treated with sublime mercy, like a hand that snatches you, and the deliverance is there. And in the religion of that one, in the religion of the God who is there and always has been and never changes, whose word has never been broken, the God of the Bible, the God of Jesus Christ, forced to further the faith is forbidden. What force is an argument for man's conduct? What has it got to do with it? Religions that use this are irrational, uncontrolled, and ludicrous. To approach a person to get faith, confidence, conviction, awareness, to follow on the basis of what a man is, which includes reason. On the basis that if you don't, you'll be murdered or tortured, is charlatan's work. It has nothing to do with faith. It's like asking a baby, do you want rump steak or would you prefer perhaps some other type of thick steak? If the baby could reply, it might say, this is all stupid and irrelevant. Steak's got nothing to do with me. It doesn't relate. Don't you understand? What's the matter with you adults? Force is forbidden by Christ, John 18:36, Matthew 26:52-54. For the propagation, for the furtherance, even for his defense. There's love. There's sacrificial duty. There's responsibility. There's something to follow. There is the relish of life to make something good, patient, responsible, understanding, productive, wise, beautiful. Out of it, not. Say what I want or I'll kill you. What in the world is the use of that? Didn't Christ say in John 8 that the devil was a murderer, a liar from the beginning? Look at what the people got returning dispirited from World War I in 1917 in Russia. They were offered land. What did they get? Many of them got Siberia for the crime of having a farm in the Ukraine. Russia has done enough for the Ukraine. It has statistically misused it, starved it, sent many to Siberia. It doesn't need to rape the same woman again, does it? These things are things of the world. But the world needs to have a heart. You don't need a front-end loader when a spade suffices and the way is clear. The descent to that level of mere force is an admission of failure. Man is not built to be a slave to force, but in the image of God. For the maladjusted, this or that fruity substitute for the singularity of the God who created us may be poured out in passion. It may abound in hate or malice, or lust for dominion over others, to tax them, to vex them, to impale them, to subjugate them, to make them second-class citizens who are taxed, as in many of the Islamic cases. Perversion is applied not only to matters sexual, but to matters spiritual. There is a perversion of the spirit of man. And it is, over time, it has shown almost endless examples. If there's no conversion, the spirit will be misused, and many with it. When, however, truth and mercy and love, that of God, translated into the sacrificial death of Christ, is received by the saved sinner, then there is room for his power and no other. His perspective, his truth, something that holds together, that answers all questions, a work of which I've been engaged in displaying in the last 25 years on the web. But no power when he enters is available for dizzy dynamics of evil. Christ refers to having every part filled with light. And there's no room for darkness. But as to the heart, dissected away from its God, Christ says this in Matthew 15:19. Out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. It's rather a notorious source. Small wonder we read in Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. That's God's statement. I ask you, look at your heart and see it confirmed. Then we come to the light of the heart in happy contrast. A multifaceted jewel is the heart of man. But it may be discolored, yet it may be purged by God and restored to its purity. God who transmits light, a creative light that not only reveals but orders things in clear perspective of love and truth. You can see it, you can understand it, you can adopt it, you don't have to adapt it, it's straightforward. All this is from the self-definition of God in Jesus Christ, made available to man so that whether you can read words or read looks or whatever other way you relate, you've got the propositions and you've got the person, you've got it all. You've got the example, you've got the exhibition of the love, you've got the sacrificial wonder of the truth. You've got the simplicity of receiving Christ's death in your stead as a cover for your sins by faith without needing an appointment. Although if you reject it, it will be leading to disappointment. Then your whole mind can be structured, sifted, sorted out, balanced, given a base, settled as on a rock. Thoughts can be read like a book. And the ways of translation in a given life, though imperfect, become indeed that, the translation of what is there, of what was always there, of the heart and source in God. You don't need the power to suppress, to violate, to be vile, to abandon all human grace, to assert yourself like a jumping, ferocious flea, and worship the nearest god of power you can think of. Man needs grace instead, to understand goodness, to develop what is fine, to seek what is splendid in construction, to aim and capacity, discernment to avoid the pit of corruption which can come not only to cars, but to people who become carcasses needlessly, wrongly, in the wrong way, pointing into a tree or a fence. Brotherly love to sustain and be sustained in goodwill. But when man departs from his source also departs from him. You have forsaken me, I have forsaken you. Although the love of God may yet seek in the quieter moments of the soul, when it ceases to explode like some wine bottle and calms down. But when you are seeking strenuously, consider this from Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. There are timely times, whether in romance or a profession, there are timely times. Seek the Lord while he may be found. He will not always strive with man, says Isaiah 58. God will not always strive. There's a limit. We're not limitless. There is a time when God presses, urges, seeks, invites. Seek the Lord while he may be found and call on him while he is near. But if you don't, it's like willful self-obliteration that will fail, for it will lead to judgment, not nothing. Man came from God, not nothing. His end is judgment, not nothing. Whether that judgment be entirely annulled because of Christ, received as a saving substitute, or whether it be not, it will come. Therefore the psalmist cries, Teach me your way, O Lord, I will walk in your truth. In Psalm 86:11. Unite my heart to your fear. Don't have your heart bits and pieces like the result of an explosion in a factory. He says, unite my heart. Make it one. Make me see, understand with my head. Grasp with my field of vision in the heart. Let me have a united heart. Not some sort of spiritual schizophrenia or worse. A mintage of millions of bits. Thoughts, ideas, hopes, cherishes, sacrifices, arrogances, selfishnesses, whatever. Unite my heart. When you're dealing with the truth, that's precisely what you can do. Unite my heart. One Lord, one life, one set of morals, one hope, one purpose, one mission, one commission, no omission. If you love me, you will keep my words, Christ declares. He who doesn't love me doesn't keep my words. What blessing is this, therefore, on the heart when it finds its counterpart in its Creator, its Redeemer, its light, its foundation, and its regeneration at the hand of God. Capacity to be free is a marvelous gift. Resting on Christ, the restorative ground of truth, is better. Getting a car is a great thing. Having one in good working order is better. Like medicine for the sick, it works. But you have to take it. Without the medicine, the sickness still assaults. Without Christ, where are the redeemed? Where are the redirected? Where are the corrected? Where are the regenerated? Where are those given understanding that they might live? I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the Lord in Ezekiel 33. Turn! Turn! Why will you die? Take the medicine. Man isn't made to be an automaton, governed by desires and dynamics of no sound basis, with only an atrocious end. With the Lord of creation and salvation, what is it really like? It's like those who fly. And they see and they understand. They are connected with the aerodrome. But what of those who refuse? They cannot see amidst the mists. They cannot see the peaks which jut up into the clouds. Their eyes are closed. Their contact with the aerodrome isn't there. Their altitude measurement is askew. At any moment they may crash into an unseen, mist-covered peak or pinnacle. They don't want to go higher. There are problems there. They don't want to go lower. They may meet at any time. No wonder Christ declared, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. Christ is the light of the world. You can't turn it off. But you can turn your back. And you can shut your eyes. Amen. Our Father, we thank thee for Jesus Christ. The light of the world. Filled with excellent things. Beautiful moments. Divine sacrificial intensity, saving love with the saving means. We thank you for the Saviour who is Lord. His purpose, he both lived and died, rose again. He might be Lord over the creation that is there. Not in voluptuous fantasies of the spirit or flesh that rest lives. So we thank thee, our Father, in Jesus' name.